All right, my friends, good morning. How are we? Wonderful, enjoying this wonderful moisturizing weather. We'll call it that. We won't have dry, cracky skin in this weather at all. It won't happen. All right, very good. My friends, it is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house this morning. And as we gather, we remember that our Father has, the Holy Spirit has come to us and that he has brought us into this relationship with himself. And because of the gift that the Holy Spirit has given us, namely that gift of faith, that very relationship that we have with God, we can come before him. And so as we come into our Father's presence this morning, remembering the day that the Holy Spirit came to us in our baptism, we remember in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord. Another day where we get to serve you, worship you, Lord. Live our lives out for you. Live out this faith that you have given us, Lord. I pray that you would send your Spirit to work among us today once again, that we would grow in our faith, that we would better understand your grace, that we would better be able to believe and trust in, Lord, your promises, so that we can live at peace, so that we can rest in you. Lord, all these things we bring to you today, in your holy name, amen. My friends, let us begin our service by bringing our concerns, our prayers, our sins before our God in heaven and be forgiven by him. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sin, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment, but I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us return praise to this God who has forgiven us.
Waters Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege this morning to read the first scripture reading from the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 10 to 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Thus concludes the first reading.
My friends, the reading for the sermon today is Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whatever has ears, let them hear. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100 or 60 or 30 times what was sown. This is God's word for us today. It is now time for the children's message. So children, if you would come forward at this time, I believe Miss Kathy has the message for us today. There she is. Yay.
Good morning, everybody. Now, I have something here. Do you guys know what these are?
Seeds.
Do you know what kind of seeds they are? Close, not quite sunflower seeds. These are pumpkin seeds. And right now is a really good time to plant some pumpkins. So, what if I planted these seeds outside on the sidewalk in the parking lot? How would they do?
Not very good. They wouldn't grow.
Not very good?
They would probably get run over.
They might get run over by the cars.
Or they would get stepped on.
Stepped on.
And you can't put roots down in concrete.
Yeah, you can't have roots on concrete, can you? Okay. What if I planted them in this little cup?
They would not grow. Because you can't put roots in rocks either.
It's a bunch of rocks in here, and it wouldn't be able to have roots in there, right? The dirt is what helps the roots grow. Okay.
Easier to keep water in.
I have another cup with some dirt. I also have some other plants in here. This is actually a dandelion that's already not starting to do good. How about I plant them in here? No, how would it do?
The weeds would choke them out. The weeds would choke them out.
Too much other stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. So no rocks, no weeds, no parking lot. How about this cup? What's in here?
Dirt. Mud.
Dirt.
Soil.
Does it look pretty good?
Yeah. Maybe a little clumpy.
There's no other, it's a little clumpy, but there's no other plants in there. Nothing else that's going to distract the roots or take away from the roots, right? So that should work. Well, Jesus tells a story in the Bible about a farmer who was going to plant some seeds, and the farmer just started to scatter the seeds everywhere. He scattered them on the pavement, like the parking lot. He scattered them, well, on the road, on rocks. Some of the seeds fell among some weeds, and some of the seeds fell among the good soil. Well, in that story, Jesus wants to tell us something, because he always teaches us in the Bible, right? So the lesson that Jesus wanted his disciples to learn is for us today. And the seed, or the dirt, is like our hearts. So our heart has to be ready to hear God's word. So sometimes our hearts, when we wake up in the morning and have to come to church, how many of you guys are really, 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 truly excited every Sunday morning? Good. How many of you are like, oh, I don't want to go. I want to watch cartoons at home. I want to stay home and play. Have you ever felt like that? It's okay. You don't have to tell me the truth. Sometimes our hearts feel a little grumpy when we have to learn and hear about God's word. And when that happens, our hearts are like the pavement. Our hearts are so hard that God's word doesn't get to help us grow. So other times, our hearts are kind of like these rocks. That when you get the seeds in there, when we hear God's word, we get excited about it, but then the excitement fades away and our understanding is too shallow. So when it's on the rocky soil, there's a little bit of roots, but it won't grow. It won't grow enough. Sometimes we hear the word and we believe what it says, but we want to keep doing the same things that we've been doing. And this is like planting the seed in a bunch of weeds. The weeds are going to take over. And the last seed is the best. It fell on the good ground. And if you learn from what you hear in Sunday school and church, that seed that Jesus plants in your heart will grow. And your life will produce good fruit just like Jesus intended. You'll be helping others to grow too in their knowledge and understanding of God's love. Isn't that great? Let's pray together. Repeat after me. Our Father, help us to be like the good soil in our lesson today. Help us to listen to your word and grow up to be the kinds of boys and girls you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Kathy. All right, kids, it is now time for a little worship. If you want to meet at the cross in the center aisle with your parents' permission, you guys will go off and have your lesson. Looks like Katie and Maria have the little worship today. And the rest of us, let's open up God's word right here and right now. All right, my friends, the text for today is, of course, the parable of the seeds, the parable of the sower who plants the seeds into very, you know, multiple different kinds of soil, and you know the results of that. But before we get into that soil, parable, I think there's something else we kind of need to deal with first, and that's going to be coming actually out of the Old Testament lesson for today. And I'll just read the first part of the Old Testament lesson. Is this Isaiah 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What I need you to understand first is that the reason that we are Christian today, the reason that we have the world that we live in, the reason that the reality that we currently enjoy exists, all comes back to God's word. I mean, you understand that, right? How did God create the world? He spoke. And his word creates, his word makes happen. His word is unbelievably powerful. His word changes things, right? And so what we need to understand as we go into this text for today is that the power and the strength, the thing that changes the world and changes us is God's word. All right? And so much so that at the beginning of the, you guys say this with me at least once a month, that we say, we confess our sins using the meaning of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, which starts out, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But who does it? The Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel, enlightens me with his gifts. The Spirit brings me to faith. All right? Kind of an important thing for us to completely understand. And just so you know that I'm not just making this stuff up, I got this book. Anybody recognize this thing? Anybody see one of these before? If you ever in confirmation class, I hope you saw one of these at some point. And here's the thing. It says on page 196 of the current catechism, which isn't that old, it's set in question 187. It says, why can I not come to faith in Jesus by my own reason or strength? And then it gives Bible passages that explain that. It's an amazing book, right? And it says this. It says 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural person, the person without God, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, without God's word, we can't even understand the gospel. It doesn't even make sense to us. How about this? Ephesians 2:1, you are dead in the trespasses and sin. How about 1 Corinthians 12:3? Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. In other words, can they have the saving faith? Can they believe that Jesus is Lord? Can they say it in truth without the Spirit working in their hearts? Bible says, no, they can't. So it is the Spirit that brings faith. And so the question then is, well, what is our contribution to this whole thing? You know, and here's what the Catechism says. It says that apart from the Holy Spirit, I actively resist the gospel's call and faith in Christ. Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. We ever do that? We'll talk about it. Romans 8:7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Can it be any clearer than that? That without the Spirit, we cannot come to God. It's just not a thing we can do. But that we are saved by the word. And he says this. He says, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. To this he has called you through our gospel, that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, and Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Right? So what makes the difference in our hearts? What changes us from unsaved to saved, from people that have no purpose and have no future to people who are given a future and a hope in Christ, is the word of God that we hear. And the Spirit that works through that word to give us faith. Why is it so important that I'm driving this home so profoundly at the very beginning of the sermon? Because the text that we're going to be looking at today, it is so easy to turn it around and make it all about us. And make it about, and in doing so, make it, interpret this parable as if we can take some credit and responsibility for how our faith turns out. But if we do that, we're not understanding the way Scripture explains it. The way Scripture explains it is, who gets credit if we're saved? God. Christ for earning us the salvation, Christ for explaining to us what he did, the Spirit for using that word and bringing us faith, and then the Spirit for continuing to keep us in the faith. It's all about him. So then what is up with all of these different kinds of soil? Well, the one thing that we can do is we can resist God, right? We just read that. We can stop the Spirit from being effective in our lives. We can stop the word from growing in our hearts. We can do that. And this parable today shows us what it looks like when we stand in the way of the Spirit of God as he tries to grow us in the faith, tries to bring us to faith and tries to grow us in the faith. All right, so now we're ready. Let's open up the text for today. The first kind of soil is what? The road. Right? The seed that is thrown on the road, right? And what is the seed? Tells us later on, it says it is the word of God. All right? So is this word of God powerful? Absolutely. It changes things. It is extremely powerful. It is God's will and God's desire in it. It has a ton of power in it. And so when the word of God is spread, some falls on the road. And what is the road? Well, the road is the people who don't even understand what is being proclaimed. Now, here's the thing. Could I ask a lot of children in the congregation today to understand the basic truths of Scripture? Would they know that Jesus loved them? Would they know that Jesus died for them? Would they know that Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, gives them forgiveness? would they know that they would be, they're going to be able to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus? Do they even know what all those words mean? But do they understand the basic truth of the scripture? So why would anybody else not be able to do that? Except that they're not even engaging it. This would be like this. Okay, it's like, I was trying to come up with a metaphor for what this would be, and I think it's a good baseball metaphor for this, you know, that there would be a batter and there'd be a pitcher, and the batter would be throwing pitches across the plate, and the batter would strike out looking. You understand? In other words, they would never swing the bat. Except that this isn't in a major league game where the pitcher's actually working against the batter. This would be like in a home run derby, you know, where like the batter's best friend who can actually throw straight is the one that's pitching these amazingly perfect pitchers that just like hang out over the plate for a half an hour, and the batter doesn't swing. Doesn't engage, doesn't care, fails because he never even tries. And that's what we're talking about with the first soil. And the thing is this something that we can do? Who here has ever come to church and when they left, they had no idea what the sermon was about? You know, you guys are confessing to me. I'm confessing to my father. He was my pastor for many years. There were Sundays that I was someplace else when I was actually physically in church, right? Times when I didn't even engage the message that was being preached. Days that I didn't even give God that much of my time. I was so preoccupied with other things that seemed so much so important to me at the time. But honestly, in the long run, were they important? No. Wouldn't it have been a better use of my time to dedicate that holy time, that time set apart for God, to God's things, so that God could have his way in my heart, so that later I would be a better tool for him in his kingdom? Would that not be a better thing? And that my faith in him would be strengthened, and that I would have the comfort of remembering his grace and love and forgiveness during even the most ridiculous failures that I have ever had. Right? I mean, this is kind of an important thing. I mean, how many times do we fail in life? Few? I mean, can you count them on your fingers? And your toes? Yeah, you might need your hairs. Right? I mean, it's like a lot of times we fail in life. It's not easy to get through life without failure. In fact, it is a given we will fail. And when we fail, do we need this forgiveness? Do we need to remember that regardless of how badly we have acted, how out of sync our mind is with God's will, that God still loves us, that his forgiveness is unending, that he adores us, that he brings us back to himself with that incredible and unconditional grace? Is it important? And if we forget that, isn't it just an awful experience when we start thinking, when we listen to the voice of the devil and we start thinking, I've messed up so bad God couldn't possibly love me anymore. How could I ever serve him again? I have ruined his reputation so bad. I've ruined my own reputation so bad. How could he ever use me? There's just nothing left. I'm just lost in this. And God says, no. That's not the truth that I've given. That's not what I've said. But we can just miss it if we don't engage with the word when it is proclaimed. If we don't listen and understand and think about and process. And sometimes it can even be the thing where we like kind of pay attention when we're here, you know, and then never think about it again. That's not helpful either. What we're talking about is when we actually take the word of God and we apply it to our lives and we think about it and we grow from it. That's what we're looking for. And if we don't engage the word of God, we're basically like the seed that's fallen on the road. Is it because God's word's not powerful? No. Because we just didn't even engage it. So that's one way that we can restrain God's word and keep it from working in us. The next way is this, the stuff that the seed that is spread among the thorns, right? Is that the next one? No, the rocky ground. Rocky ground is next. So the thing is that we're very familiar with rocky ground. We all live in Eureka. You know, our topsoil is about an inch thick in a lot of places. It's not really easy to grow grass and stuff here. I got bald places on my yard that have been there roughly 20 years. I've lived in the house 17. It's just one of those things that it's just hard to grow, and we get it. If the ground is thin, it doesn't hold a lot of water. There's just not a lot of room for roots. The roots are such an important part of the plant because they can go deep into the soil and pull moisture up way down. And if the plant can't get to the moisture that's way down, the plant's going to die, right? This is not much of a mystery for us. We all get it. So what does this look like for our faith? Well, this is the kind of faith that is the ones where we don't continue to grow in it. Where we hear the word and it's exciting, it's cool, it's new. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, I understand this better than I did before. This is an amazing thing. And then we go out into the world and we never ever think about it again. We just don't. We don't think about it. We don't apply it to our lives. We don't have it. We don't put any kind of reminders around us. You know what I'm saying? Because how, I love this. You know the show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? It's hilarious because that's all those questions came from fifth grade curriculum. A fifth grader who studied for the test would know those questions. But do we? No. Why? Because we're not fifth graders. We haven't studied that stuff since we were in fifth grade. And the one thing I'll tell you is that memory is not perfect. And I'll tell you what, I'm the poster child for this, right? I mean, Etch-a-Sketch brain, shake my head, it's gone. And the thing is that we're like, it's the hardest thing in the world to remember things. And you know, sometimes we actually have to like discipline ourselves to engage God's word in a deep way and perhaps even put some reminders around our house so that we can develop new habits based upon the word that we have heard. You know, so like this, is if we know that the best way to start the day is to engage God in prayer, maybe spend some time in devotions, but we also know that the first thing we like to do when we wake up is grab our cell phone and read the news or catch up on Facebook or whatever the kids are using these days. Well, how about this? This is an old tech option. Stick a post-it note right on the cell phone screen. So when you grab the cell phone in the morning, what's the first thing you're going to be reminded to do? How about spend some time with God rather than jump right back into your old patterns and your old habits and just doing what you've always done before? If we've heard God's word and we know that the best way to start the day is with Him, engaging Him, giving our life to Him once again, asking Him to bless our day, asking Him for the guidance for our day, and to start our day out oriented and planning and thinking with God in mind, why don't we make that discipline so that we'll actually execute that plan? Does that make sense? But if we don't discipline ourselves, if we don't find ways to actually remind ourselves to implement the truths that we have learned from God's word, what can we expect to happen? The changes are not going to happen. And we're not going to make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. We're not going to open up ourselves to God's leading. We're not going to be asking Him for His help in our lives. We're not going to be giving our lives to Him in the morning. We're not going to be reorienting ourselves every morning to live out our day for Him. See the difference? Next soil is the thorns. Ah, this one's good. This is like getting pickled. Anybody ever play baseball and get pickled? Anybody watch somebody you love get pickled? You know what that is? It's where somebody, like, the ball gets in front of the runner. And so the runner says, well, I'm going to go back to first now. He's running to second. He said the second baseman gets the ball, and he's like, well, I'm going back to first. And he turns around to run to first, and the guy at first throws the ball, the guy at second throws the ball to first, and then the runner has to go the other way, and they just keep throwing the ball back and forth as they kind of get closer and closer to the runner until one of two things happens. Either one of them drops the ball, which happens, or the runner gives up, right? I mean, that's pretty much it. So here's the thing. When life gets intense, when it feels like you're just in having the hardest time and you don't know what to do and you're running back and forth trying to figure it out and you're really freaking out, trying to live out this stuff and to really engage with God's word and trying to understand what God is trying to say, the question is, are you going to give up or are you going to keep running? Because is God going to, the difference is, I mean, with, you know, getting in that kind of a situation in a ball game, you could actually be toasted. I mean, they could tag you out if they get close enough together, right? But the thing is this, God promises that his word does not come back empty. He promises that his word is powerful. And that if we engage that word, if we stay in it and keep struggling to understand it, is he going to drop us? The risk is not that we actually get tagged out. The risk is that we give up and stop running because it's hard. And the thing is this, is it hard? Yeah, I mean, is it hard to understand God's word? Now, the very basic truth, this is the wonderful thing about God's word, is that the very basic truths are easy to understand, so much so that a child can understand it. But the most advanced and challenging parts of God's word are so advanced and challenging that PhDs for the last 2,000 years have been writing books, and we have not found the bottom of the wisdom of God's word yet. You understand how this is? I mean, this is the word that God has given us. Unbelievably simple, yet unbelievably complex and amazing. And that we get to plumb into this and try to figure out exactly what it is God wants us to do in the circumstances in which we live. Example of this is like all the different things that pop up in life, right? How are we supposed to love everybody? Right? And not just love them, but love them sacrificially, love them with kindness, but also love them with truth. And we're supposed to figure out how to minister to people in whatever situation they find themselves in. And then all of a sudden, the world throws at us transgenderism. So how do you love people? You know? And all of a sudden, we're thrown something new and different that at least we have not dealt with in our lifetimes. And we're trying to figure out how it is that God wants us to love everybody. And what love looks like. And how do we do it effectively? And it's going to be a challenge. Do we love people? Do we speak truth? Do we speak the truth in love? What does that look like? How do we do it? Do you think we need to spend some time in Scripture? Probably a bit. And that's just one issue. How many issues are out there, you know? I mean, we need to be digging into Scripture so intensely because there are so many questions that the world constantly gives us. It's not that God's word changes, it's that the world around us changes, and we got to figure out how we're going to live out God's plan in this world. The next one is that the seed falls on the good soil. And if the seed falls on the good soil, it's this, is that not only do we stay focused on studying God's word and learning God's word, and not only do we keep running and keep struggling in the struggle of learning God's word and understanding exactly what it means, but that if we do these things, we are basically making ourselves available to the Holy Spirit so that he can make us win. So that he can take us and bring us to the place he wants us to be. Now, thing about this is that it's a very aspirational thing. You know what I mean by that? It's like one of those things we strive for. If anybody ever figures out how to completely connect with the Spirit and never fail at it, let me know, because I can write a paper on you, maybe a book, make lots of money. It'll be great. Thing is is something that we will struggle at. It is the goal that we reach for, to be the soil that is open to the Spirit's work, the soil that doesn't shy away when it gets hard, the soil that doesn't ignore or get distracted, that soil that is open to the Spirit's work at all times. And this is why we need those reminders. You know, a post-it note on your mirror when you're getting ready, something on the screen of your phone, maybe both, maybe like on the in the car, maybe, you know, for when you get the road rage going, you need to have something there to tell you, don't forget, God's in control of this and you're going to be fine. I mean, whatever it takes, whatever places you need these reminders, whatever disciplines you need to put in place, whatever accountability you need, so that you can do the very best we can to keep ourselves open to the Spirit of God, to let His Word have its way with us, to make room in our crazy busy lives for God's Word to have a chance to root and to really truly grow in us. And again, so careful. What is the power behind all this? Is it our obedience? No. It's God's Word. God's Word that He sends into the world through His Son. God's Word that is the Son of God. That Word that became flesh, dwelt among us. The Word that He spoke into our lives. The Word that the Spirit uses to bring us faith. That He has all the credit for anything that happens in our lives. Our job is to stay open to Him. To let Him. To not be in the way. So that He can have His way with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we live in a very noisy world. We live in a place where this is hard. And Lord, we know we can't do it without You. Even this we need Your help for. Lord, we need Your Spirit to work in us, to help us, Lord, so that we this word that we're hearing today can root in our minds and root in our hearts, Lord, so that we are not just willing to have our lives, Lord, conform to Your desires, Lord, but that we go out of our way to keep ourselves, Lord, open to You and to Your Word, that we put Your Word first in our lives. Lord, I pray that You would give us strength, give us wisdom, convict our hearts, show us, Lord, the things that stand between us and Your Word, so that You can have Your way with us. Thank You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time to continue our worship service. As our service continues, we are going to be collecting our offering. As the offering is collected, please do take a moment to record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. And also, let us give praise to our Lord God.
To pass. Great is Your faith.
Let us now confess our faith using the words of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. All right, my friends, as we are coming into our time of prayer today, we want to remember, of course, Mary Borgschulte and Jim Moss as they are continuing their struggle with health. And we want to be praying for Josh, Pastor Josh and Hope as they consider the call to our congregation. And let's see here. And then we also want to be praying for the teachers in the school as we are preparing for the upcoming school year. And then there's a couple of happy things. We have a couple of engagements that happened just this week in our congregation. Nick and Madison Defoe, am I correct? They just got engaged. And, yep. And then also Josh Langraf and Gretchen got engaged. And the only thing I say to that is about time, Josh. Anyway, very good. Let us come to our Father in heaven and give thanks to him for all that he has done for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you are with us every day, that you are the one that sends your Spirit to work in our hearts through your word, to give us the faith that trusts in you, Lord, and that faith that in you, and along with the promises, Lord, that you have made to us, Lord, give us so much comfort in our lives as we know that you are the one in control, that you use us to your glory, and that we get to serve you, Lord, by loving the people around us and loving you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we continue to plan for the future, Lord, us at St. Mark's, as we plan for the new school year, Lord, I pray that you'd give our teachers rest and passion this summer, Lord, as they come back to work with among the students, and that you would just be with us all, Lord, as we prepare the school for that that big event of the children coming back. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Pastor Josh and Hope, Lord, as they consider the call to this congregation. Lord, give them wisdom, help them to discern what your will is as they look to the future here. And Lord, I pray that you would be with Mary Borgschulte and Jim Moss, Lord, as they continue to struggle with their health. Lord, give them strength. Be with them and their families, Lord, in all of these, the different ups and downs, Lord, that come with these situations. And Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for Nick and Madison and Josh and Gretchen, Lord, and the relationships that you are building there. I pray that you would continue to work in them and through them, Lord, that they may be able to grow in love for each other, Lord, that they would love each other with the love that you have for us, that love that is without condition, that love that grows, that love that sacrifices, Lord, and that they would be able to live long lives, Lord, praising, bringing you praise and glory in their marriage. All these things, Lord, we bring before you today in your holy name, and we pray your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Oh,
Now, having received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this presence of our Jesus in such an amazing way in this body, in this bread and wine, his body and blood is truly here so that we, through it, can receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, knowing that our God has promised this and that his word is certain. Depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. Seated. A few announcements this morning. All these are in the bulletin as well, but I want to draw attention to them. First of all, high school seniors, we're doing the send-off on July 30th during the worship service. So if anybody here has a senior that is going to be graduating or that graduated already, please send us a picture and just look at the stuff in the bulletin so that we can get all the things we need so that we can properly send them off to the next phase of life. Rummage sale is coming up. All this stuff is in the bulletin for that. Music survey. The worship team wants to hear from you and understand exactly what your feelings are toward the music worship ministry here. And so if you guys could take part in that, the link is in the bulletin. And also the youth, we are getting ready to start the confirmation year again, and registrations are now open. Sixth graders are registering for communion training. Seventh and eighth are registering for confirmation. Just register as soon as you can. Any questions, come talk to me about it. Give me a call. One other thing came to my attention just earlier this morning. We originally planned to have a church picnic next Sunday, but we decided to put it off because we hear that there may be another pastor coming, and we thought that it'd be fun to wait until he gets here to have that picnic. So we thought we snuck it by everybody and took it out before we published it, but a few people actually heard about it and were asking me, so I just want to make it clear. We're not having the church picnic this coming Sunday. We're going to put it off until, hopefully, until Pastor Josh comes and joins us here. All right? Excellent. With that, God's blessings on your weeks, my friends. It is so wonderful to be here and worship with you again, and I will be in the back to greet you.